praise God, worshiping with us. And I'll just tell you this, it's better in person. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But do what you got to do, but we want to see you soon. Amen?
Yes.
God meant for us to assemble together.
Yes.
He meant for us to gather together. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah. So, Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for your presence in this place. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you that you're working through your church in this day. We do thank you for national revival as we prayed earlier, Lord. We thank you the church will stand up and speak up and reap a great harvest in the name of Jesus. And we thank you that in this Christmas season, the name of Jesus will be lifted up. The name of Jesus will be magnified. And Lord, we thank you that it shall be so today in this house as it already has been. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for your word right now. Open our hearts to receive it. I pray for every person, Lord, that we would all be receptive to your word today. And I thank you, Lord, that you do confirm your word in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Go with me to Luke chapter 1 this morning. Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, "Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end.'
Amen.
Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now, indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible.'
Amen.
Then Mary said, 'Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." So this is the account, of course, of the angel Gabriel appearing to Mary, bringing her the good news that she's been chosen by God to give birth to the Savior, to the Son of God. And we know this was a fulfillment of prophecy. We know in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15, God himself spoke in the Garden of Eden, just after Adam and Eve sinned. God came down and he spoke and he said, "The seed of the woman shall come," speaking to Satan. He said, "The seed of the woman is going to come and he's going to crush your head." Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that seed of the woman, that was prophetic and that was indicative and pointing toward a virgin giving birth. Because normally a child is the seed of the man, obviously. But this one was going to be called the seed of the woman. And then more explicitly, more clearly, Isaiah prophesied in Isaiah 7 and verse 14. We looked at this a couple of weeks ago. But Isaiah prophesied and said, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel." And Emmanuel means, of course, God with us. Praise God. So what was about to happen with Mary, that was the fulfillment of a prophecy made 700 years before by Isaiah the prophet that a virgin would conceive and would bear a son. So now Mary was almost certainly just a teenager at this time. I heard Rick Renner teaching on this the other day. She probably was somewhere between 14 and 16 years of age. You know, my grandmother on my daddy's side, she married at 15 and started having kids, I think, at 17, somewhere in there, or maybe 16. And I know one time her oldest child, that was my Aunt Eunice, as they were both on up in years, you know, they were talking about, probably arguing about something one day. And my aunt probably didn't want to submit to her mother on that. And she said, "Well, mother, I'm almost as old as you are." Well, she was, because my grandmother was 16 when she had her. So by the time they were in their 70s and 80s, yes, she was almost as old as her. And so Mary was probably about between 14 and 16 years old at this time. And she had been betrothed or engaged. That's what we'd call an engagement, except it was more formal than even an engagement, because to break it, you had to actually go through and file papers like a divorce. And so Mary had been was betrothed to Joseph, but they were not married yet. She was still a virgin. And that's why she was puzzled at Gabriel's announcement, the angel Gabriel's announcement. And she asked, how can this be? How am I going to have a child? How am I going to give birth to a son? I'm a virgin. I've not been with a man. How can this happen? And the angel Gabriel explained to her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her and that the power of the highest would overshadow her. And then he tells her about Elizabeth. And that's Mary's relative. He talks about it in verse number 36. He says, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. Now, here's something interesting to note about that. That was actually the word of knowledge in operation. Because there's no other way that Mary would have known that. They didn't have Facebook and Instagram back then. And so Elizabeth and Zacharias had not posted on Facebook and Instagram, guess what, y'all? We're having a baby. Nobody knew about it. Word traveled slow back then. Mary was not aware. And in fact, Elizabeth didn't tell anybody. She actually hid it. You know, she went into seclusion after she became pregnant with the child that would be John the Baptist. And so Mary had no way of knowing about this in the natural, but the angel revealed it to her through the word of knowledge, supernaturally. Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And she's in the sixth month. She's 6 months along, and she was called barren. For with God, the angel says in verse 37, for with God, nothing will be impossible. Hallelujah. Now, here's Mary's response. When Mary heard that, and when Mary heard, and then it began to dawn on her what the angel was telling her about what she was chosen for, what she was chosen to do, I want you to look at Mary's response in verse 38. She says, Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord. That was the first thing she said. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. She says, all right, Lord, here I am. Lord, I am your servant. Use me however you will. That should be our ready response when God speaks to us. Amen? Our ready response when God's... Now, this is not just a history lesson this morning. This is not just a Bible story about, okay, that happened then. These principles, these truths, they apply to us today, you understand. Amen? Amen? And so Mary, as this announcement came to her, and as she's beginning to grasp it now, you know, getting over the initial shock of seeing an angel and hearing these words, she says, okay, I'm in. Yes, count me in. I am the maidservant. I am willing. Amen. I am willing. And then she says this, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be, and that's the title of my message today. Let it be to me according to your word. What was she doing? She was agreeing with God. She was agreeing with the message that God brought to her through the angel. Let it be to me according to your word. She was accepting and agreeing with what God had spoken to her through the angel. Do you know we ought to be the same way? Amen. Let it be to me according to your word. Can you say that with me? Let it be to me according to your word. Let's say it again together. Let it be to me according to your word. Hallelujah. We ought to be the same way. We ought to be quick to believe God. We ought to be quick to accept His word. Amen. And agree with what God has said about us. Amen? Amen? Mary didn't hesitate about this. Mary didn't say, well, you know, I'm going to need more proof. Did she? No. Amen? Mary didn't say, well, I don't feel like this could happen to me. I don't feel pregnant. Amen? Amen. Mary didn't say, but I'm not worthy. You know, those are all excuses that we could give. I'm going to need more proof. These are all things that short circuit the power of God and the power of faith in our lives. Us saying, oh, well, I'm going to need more proof. I just don't know if I can believe that. Or we say, well, you know, I don't feel like it. Or we say, well, but I'm not worthy. Recognize those things that short circuit the power of God and the power of faith from working in our lives today. Amen. She didn't hesitate. She simply accepted what the angel said, and she agreed with it. She said, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me according to your word. Yeah. Praise God. Amen? Amen? Now, let's ask a question this morning. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Well, John tells us who he is in the very first verse of the first chapter of John. John tells us exactly who Jesus is. John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. Everybody say, Jesus is the Word.
Jesus is the Word.
He's the Word, isn't he? Is that who? Is that right?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
Amen. In Revelation, it says his name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So who is Jesus? He is the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. He is the Word of God. Hallelujah. See, here's my point. I'm not getting off message here. Because when Mary said, let it be to me according to your word, do you know, I believe at that moment she was impregnated with the Word of God.
Amen.
At that moment she received the
Amen.
Word of God. In her womb. God, the Word, Jesus, came in to Mary's womb at that moment when she said, let it be to me according to your word. She became, can I say it this way? She became pregnant with the Word. She became pregnant with the Word. Amen. And that's what the angel said. And go back to verse 31, Luke 1:31. It says, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. You'll conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And then he tells her how. Verse 35, the angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the highest will overshadow you. Praise God. Now, think about that in terms of creation. So Jesus is the Word, right? And at the moment, I'm building up to something here that's going to help you and me understand how we can become pregnant with the Word of God and how we can give birth to things that God wants us to have and to walk in. Amen? This is how it works. Praise God. But think about it now in creation. Let's go back to the book of Genesis. I think John was thinking about Genesis chapter 1 when he wrote his gospel. Because the gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1 that we just read, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Bible starts out in Genesis 1:1 with this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do it? Verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. Notice this now. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit was hovering or was brooding. As the King James says, does it use the word brooding? Is that what it's, anybody have a King James Bible? Look at it if you do and tell me. And the Spirit of God, what? Nobody have a King James? Shout it out if you do. Nobody brought a King James today. Well, wake up and say it. What does it say? What does it say? Genesis 1:1. Keep going. Yep. Keep going. You're good. Moved upon. Okay. All right. Some translation it says brooded. Okay. All right. The Spirit of God. That's not the King James. Is it? Is it? Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Verified here. Two witnesses. Okay. Anyway, my point is this. The Spirit of God was hovering. He was brooding. He was moving upon. He was waiting for something. The Holy Spirit was waiting for something. What was he? Amplified says brooded. Okay, thank you. I knew it was. Thank you for bailing me out, Karen. Hallelujah. He was waiting for something. What was he waiting for? He was waiting for verse 3. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. The Holy Spirit took the command of the Father, took the command of God, "Let there be light," and the Holy Spirit gave life to it. Hallelujah. The angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, "You're going to be with child. You're going to bear a son. You're going to call his name Jesus." And he told her how it was going to happen. "The Holy Spirit will overshadow you." The angel brought the word, spoke the word. She received the word, and the Holy Spirit came upon her and brought life into her womb. Amen. 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 That's how it happened. That's how it happened. Glory to God. We believe in the virgin birth. Some people say, "Well, that's impossible." Well, with men it is, but not with God. For with God, nothing is impossible. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. So that's how the Holy Spirit created life. That's how the Son of God, that's how the Word of God was conceived in Mary's womb. And she carried that seed for 9 months, and through that very natural process that God created women to be able to bring life and to create a child, through that very natural process a body and flesh was given to the Word of God. Think about it. The Word became flesh. Amazing. Amazing. I'm going to be a granddaddy again. I told you about it. My daughter-in-law, Julie, is pregnant with a little girl and Pearl. Her name's going to be Pearl. I love it. And Pearl is growing. Pearl is growing. In fact, my grandson, Rowan, who's 2 and a half, he looked up at me Tuesday. He said, "Pearl's doing good in Mama's tummy." Hallelujah. And so that's what happened with Mary. She received the Word of God. The Holy Spirit was waiting for her to believe it, for her to receive it. And when she did, when it was spoken and she received it, life was given. Hallelujah. Jesus was conceived. Amen. And 9 months later, she gave birth. Praise God. So again, this is not just about Mary, though. This is about us today. This is about you and me. Again, these are principles that can be applied to our lives. And so I want to give you 4 principles this morning that you and I, that we can apply in our lives. And the first one is this: recognize that no word from God is void of power. Amen. Recognize that no word from God is void of power. And I'm taking that from the American Standard Version. We read earlier, there's actually 2 different renderings. Verse 37, the angel said, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Some translations translate it that way, but many translations translate it this way. "For no word," this is the American Standard Version, "for no word from God shall be void of power." I like that. The angel came to her and spoke to her and gave her a message. And he says, "By the way, I want you to know these words I'm speaking to you, they're not void of power. They've got power in them." Yeah. These words have power in them. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Yeah. The Passion Translation says it this way: "Not one promise from God is empty of power." Amen? You ought to be shouting about that by now. Yeah. "Not one promise from God is empty of power." You know, you and I have a book full of promises from God. And there's not one of them that's empty of power. I said there's not one of them. We need to awaken to that reality this morning. Not one word, not one promise from God is empty of power. For nothing is impossible with God. No word from God is void of power. The Weymouth translation says it this way: "For no promise from God will be impossible of fulfillment."
That's right.
no promise from God, it's impossible that a promise from God won't be fulfilled. Did you get that? It is impossible that a promise from God won't be fulfilled. There's power inherent in that promise. It has to come to pass. It has to be fulfilled. The only thing that God is looking for and the only variable is there somebody who will agree with it and who will believe it? That's what God's looking for. He's looking for you and me to agree with God and to believe it. He said, well, this promise didn't come to pass in my life. It wasn't because there wasn't power in the promise. I guarantee you that. It wasn't because the promise of God failed. I guarantee you that. J.B. Phillips translation. Hallelujah. He lived down here in Matt community. No, that sounds like somebody that sounds like a good old Forsyth County native, doesn't it? J.B. Phillips. Can't you just see him with his overalls? A little bit of tobacco juice running out of the side of his mouth. J.B. Phillips, he has a wonderful translation of the New Testament, by the way. J.B. Phillips says, no promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. Amen? No promise of God can fail to be fulfilled. So the angel Gabriel was telling Mary that the power that caused her to become pregnant with the Son of God was resident in the word he was delivering to her. That's what he was telling her. Her part was simply to believe it and receive it. And you know, that's our part today. Recognize that no word from God is void of power. Amen? Every promise of God has the inherent power resident within it to do what it promises. You know what? The promises of healing in the Word of God, do you know what is resident within those words of healing? There's actually healing power. I said there's actually healing power in healing scriptures, in healing promises in the Bible. There's actually healing power resident. That's why it says in Proverbs, my words are life to those who find them, and they're medicine to all their flesh. Why? Because within that promise, within that word, is the power inherent within it to do and to fulfill that promise. Healing promises have healing power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Promises of prosperity and provision, do you know what they have? They have power within them to cause you to prosper. That's what God said in Deuteronomy 8:18. He said, I've given you the power to get wealth that I may establish my covenant with you. Hallelujah. The power to get wealth, the power to prosper is inherent in those promises of prosperity. Whatever area it is, whatever area of need in our life, there's a promise that has within it the inherent power to fulfill that promise and to do what God said.
Amen.
If we'll be like Mary and if we'll say, let it be to me according to your word.
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Isaiah 55:11. Look at this. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. God said his word is not going to return to him void. What's it going to do? It will accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. In other words, when God sends His Word out, when God speaks His Word, it's not an empty promise, but it's going to do what He said it would do.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jeremiah 1:12, this is in the New American Standard Bible. It says, then said Jehovah unto me, thou hast seen well, for I watch over my word to perform it. I watch over my word to perform it. God is watching over His word, just like the Holy Spirit was watching over and was brooding over that day at the beginning. As God was getting ready to say, let there be light, the Holy Spirit was just waiting. And when God said, let there be light, then there was light. The Holy Spirit, what did He do? He performed that promise. Let there be light wasn't just an empty saying. When God said, let there be light, light was created. Hallelujah. There's power inherent in the promise, resident within the promise, to do what that promise promises. Amen. What that word promises. Praise God. So number one, recognize that. Recognize that no word from God is void of power. Recognize when you read the Bible, realize when you claim a promise, realize there's power in that promise. Say, how's this going to be? That's what Mary said. How's it going to be? Well, what do you, I don't understand, Pastor. You're telling me when I'm sick, you're telling me to read healing scriptures. How's this supposed to help me? Because there's power inherent in that promise, if you'll believe it, to heal your body.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory. Recognize no word from God is void of power. Then number two is this. Be available. Be available when God calls. Be available when God calls. Now, I know the Catholic Church has kind of deified Mary, which I don't think is accurate. I don't quite agree with that. But certainly, we can all agree that we all owe a debt of thanks and gratitude to Mary for being available and being the vessel through which our salvation came. Think about this 15-year-old girl. 15-year-old girl, let it be to me according to your word. I'm the Lord's servant. Here I am, Lord. I am your servant. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to be the same way. We need to be available when God calls. See, God wants to bless you. He said, the angel came to her and he said, rejoice, you're highly favored. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. When God calls you, you're blessed. Don't look at a call from God. Don't look at something from God as a burden. Don't look at it as a, oh, no, do I have to do that? You're blessed.
Amen.
You're privileged.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We get to have church. We get to serve God. We get to do the food ministry. Hallelujah. We get to bless people.
Yes.
Amen. Hallelujah. Be available when he calls. God wants to bless you. He wants to work great things for you and also great things through you. Through you. Amen.
Amen.
He just needs us to be available. He just needs us to have a willing attitude. In Isaiah, it says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Mary was willing. Mary demonstrated her willingness right there. Lord, I'm your servant. Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord. I'm here. I'm here, Lord. I'm ready. Amen?
Amen.
It's like Isaiah said when he had that vision in the temple. And he said, he saw the Lord. And he said, here am I, Lord. Send me. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And then number three, declare like Mary, let it be to me according to your word. Let it be to me, be it unto me, according to your word. Hallelujah. Let it be to me, according to your word. So just like Mary, we ought to be quick to accept the word of God. We ought to be quick to agree with what God says about it. See, when you read 1 Peter 2:24, most of y'all know what that says. It says, he himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You were healed. When you read that, you know what you ought to say? Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word. If by your stripes I was healed, let it be to me, according to your word. What are you doing when you say that? You're receiving into you the seed of the word, just like Mary did. You're becoming pregnant with healing, just like Mary was. And 9 months later, Jesus was manifested. I'm not saying your healing is going to take 9 months to manifest, but you got to start the process somewhere.
Amen. Yes.
I said you've got to start the process, and the process is receiving the Word of God and becoming pregnant with it. If you're going to have a manifestation, you got to get pregnant with it first. Amen. And the way you get pregnant with the Word is the same way Mary did. Let it be to me, Lord, according to your Word. I agree with you, Lord. I agree with your word. I agree with what you're saying.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Accept and agree with the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I thought about Sarah, you know, Abraham and Sarah. In Hebrews 11:11, the Bible says this about Sarah. By faith, Sarah herself also did what?
Received
strength to conceive seed. Hers was natural. But she had to. She was barren, though. Her condition was she was barren, she had two strikes against her. Number one, she had been barren all of her adult life. She had never been, when she was 19, when she was 25, when she was 33, she was not able to bear children. Now she's 90. She's past the age for it. So she's got two strikes against her. She was never able to do it, to have children before. And now she's past the age of where women can bear children. She was barren. But the Bible says she received strength to conceive seed. How'd that happen? She bore a child when she was past the age. How? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. She did the same thing, Mary. She received that promise. And she said, you know, that my physical body says this and the circumstances say this, and reason tells me that I'm way past the age of being able to have children. But God says I'm going to have a baby, so I choose to believe it, and I believe that God's faithful to do it.
Amen.
And when she said that, when she... Now, let me help you with something here, too. You think, well, that's Sarah. She's way up there in faith, and I'm down here, and I'm struggling. And I, you know the first thing that Sarah did when God told her she was going to have a baby? She laughed. She thought that's so impossible. She laughed about it. And the second thing she did is she lied about it when God said, oh, you laughed. She said, no, I didn't. You didn't hear me laugh. So she's laughing at it and she's lying about it. And somehow she still ended up with the promise. Imagine that. You're not too far gone. You're not a hopeless case. Don't write yourself off. Come on, step up and get in faith. You may have laughed at it. You may have said this couldn't happen to me, but today's a new day. So, you know, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to accept the promise of God. Let it be to me, Lord, according to your word. Amen. Glory. Praise God. Abraham as well, her husband Abraham. Romans 4, verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, verse 21, and being fully convinced that what God had promised, God was also able to perform. What is Abraham doing? What is Abraham saying? Abraham is saying, I believe that within that promise that God made, there's the power inherent within it to bring that promise to pass. No matter what it looks like, no matter what my body's telling me, no matter what reason and common sense tell me, God promised it, and so I believe it. Yeah. Oh, God is just looking for somebody to believe Him. Amen. God is just looking for you, just waiting for you to believe Him.
Yes,
oh, let's believe God.
Lord.
Let's believe God for His promises to be fulfilled in our lives. Amen. We live so far beneath our privileges. We live so far beneath how God wants us to live. I don't say that to shame us. I say that to provoke you to rise up and to believe Him. Believe Him. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. If these folks could, we can. Amen. They're just human. They're not. Just because their name got in the Bible, that doesn't mean they're superhuman. You know, James writes about Elijah. He says Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. Elijah was just like you and me. And he prayed about the rain. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Reed, come on back up if you would. So Gabriel appears to Mary, tells her all of this. Mary chooses to accept the Word of God, to believe the Word of God. And she becomes pregnant. I believe at that moment, she becomes pregnant with the Son of God. She received that seed in that moment. And then the very next verse says, in verse 39, it says, now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. So the angel had told her, she was revealed to her through the word of knowledge that the angel brought, Elizabeth, your relative, she's pregnant. You know, there's no word of God that's void of power. Elizabeth is pregnant now. And by this same word, by this same promise, you're going to become pregnant with the Son of God. So she goes to see Elizabeth. Verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." She hadn't had time to tell her anything. Again, she didn't text her and say, "Hey, Elizabeth, are you and Zacharias doing anything next week? I want to come see y'all." She didn't have time to do that. She said, "Oh, let me tell you the news. Let me tell you, an angel has appeared to me." The angel Gabriel. She didn't have time to tell her that. She comes walking in. Spirit of God comes on Elizabeth. And Elizabeth begins to prophesy and says, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." Amen. She knew supernaturally. "But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." Think about that. That's John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who is inside Elizabeth's womb. And when Mary says, "Hello, Elizabeth," John the Baptist goes, "Woo, he's here, he's here, he's here." Hallelujah. Think about that. Think about that. Hallelujah. "Blessed is she who believed." It's what Elizabeth prophesied. Spoke by the Spirit of God to Mary. Blessed is she who what? Believe. Blessed is she who believed. The whole thing was set in motion when Mary said, "Let it be to me according to your word." She believed. And the blessings of God are set in motion. And the blessing is set in motion in your life when you believe. Amen. When you say, "Let it be to me according to your word." Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. And I say to you by the word of the Lord today, blessed are you if you'll believe, for there will be a fulfillment of those things that have been told you from the Lord. Amen. Promises in His word, things that He's spoken into your spirit by His Spirit. Blessed are you if you'll believe that, for there will be a fulfillment of those things that have been spoken to you from the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then point number four is this. You will have a song of praise to sing. You will have a song of praise to sing. Number one, recognize that no word from God is void of power. Number two, be available when God calls. Number three, say, like Mary, "Let it be to me according to your word." And if you do those things, you will. Number four, you will have a song of praise to sing. After Elizabeth said that, then Mary speaks, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord." Verse 47. "And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." In verse 49. "For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name." Now, I want you to see something here, too. This was all in the Spirit because Mary has just received this word from the angel, and she goes immediately to see Elizabeth. I'm sure she can't even tell she's pregnant yet. I'm sure she's not even physically, there's not been any changes in her body. There's no physical symptoms to indicate that she's pregnant. All of this is by faith. All of this is her believing what God said, and all of this is responding to what the Spirit of God has said now through Elizabeth. Hallelujah. She says, "My soul is magnifying the Lord. He who is mighty has done great." It's one thing after Jesus was born for her to talk like this, but here she is. She probably doesn't even feel pregnant yet. Amen? She was moving in faith. She was speaking inspired by the Spirit of God. And she was full of praise. That's the way God wants us to be. I said, that's the way God wants us to move and to live. Amen? Hallelujah. It's not just some nice story at the Christmas. Sometimes we miss these. We get so familiar with them that we miss some of the principles and truths that are revealed here. Praise God. Amen? But this is for you and for me. Amen? We can walk in these things. Amen? These principles are for us today. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I want to pray for you. Hallelujah.